The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 708. It's the Weekend Podcast, so I'm joined by two other people who are, unlike the weekday show, they're not experienced in investing or finance or business or shares or anything at all apart from internet surfing. You're right, guys. Pete and Steve.
Hello.
Hello.
I just realised some people may be listening to this just after Wales have beaten England in the Six Nations. So, don't hold it.
2050.
So don't hold it against Steve and I, who are Welsh. Pete is English, of course, that we beat you in the Six Nations. But I was just watching a little bit of the news, actually. We recorded this, on Friday, about how England is scared to come over the bridge. I don't know if it's the height of the bridge or I don't know what it is. Or the tolls, they're quite scary. Every time I go over, I don't go back to Wales very often. Every time I do, they just ratchet the price up. I thought, what the heck? To be fair, though, it's when you go into Wales, it's better than most pleasure parks. So you get your money for value, I think. The sights you see and this is the fun you have there.
I thought they were going to reduce the toll price. When's that happening?
Yeah, no,
2 years.
Ratchet it up.
Time.
They should ratchet it right up. They should ratchet it up to about £100 a head. Stop people getting in. If they get in, it's a nice bit of money, isn't it? Just really get it up. Having said that, I think a French company owns that, don't they? So it's really odd. Well,
that's why it's going down, because they're selling it back to the government in 2 years' time.
Are they? Well, it's really odd. It's a bridge in between Wales and there's charges to the English to get into Wales and the money goes to the French. that's a business, isn't it? How did the French get in there? You think, what's going on here?
I think the
French got special passes. When the French come to play Wales, in Wales, just come in and go, I can the path of beautiful and don't need to play because we own this bridge. We own the bridge, yes. Some of them are German. Some of them are German ancestry. But there we are. That's the Seven Bridge. But what do you think, Pete? Let's have your prediction before the game starts. What do you think?
I think it's going to be a tight game, but I could see England running away with it, winning by.
Well, how's it going to be a tight game then? hang on, lads. I've set my starter, my countdown. Last week we started 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So last week Pete had to rush off somewhere, so he said, I can do a maximum 30 minutes exactly. Spot on. Then I've got to go. My diary is unorganised. Yeah. I've allotted exactly 30 minutes to this segment.
Yeah. Or I just lose the will to live if I speak to you for more than 30 minutes.
I thought, so Wales played Italy, didn't they, last week, and I watched a bit of that.
Yeah.
And I do apologise if you're not a rugby fan, we do get onto stocks in a bit. But I felt sorry for Italy, because I didn't think, if you looked at the game, and for some reason someone just had their hand over the points area, and you didn't look at the points scored while you're watching the game, you probably guessed the game was a lot closer than it actually was on the scoreboard. Because if you just looked at the scores, this is probably an easy way of saying it. If you did actually see the game and saw the scores, you think, Wales smashed them, 33 points to 9 or something. But it didn't look like that. Wales was struggling a bit at the start, I thought. Did you see it?
Yeah.
Didn't see the game.
The last like 20 minutes, didn't they?
Yeah, so you didn't see the game. What did you see, Pete?
If you remember, last week I was in Sweden.
Oh, yes, how did you go? My sweetest friend in the sauna.
In the sauna? I didn't have a sauna, but apart from that...
Oh, I said, do you know what? I'm not joking here. You brought me over. You indulged me in part of the culture. The culture I really want to get involved with is getting your missus in the sauna, and that's I'm left out of that bit. Come on, what's going on there? Me and your father-in-law in the sauna. That's what I want to see.
Yes.
Okay, so let's move on to stocks. Some interesting moves in the markets this week. See that the Tony man, hey? Tony Manini, man. Yeah?
Yeah, man.
You still hold long and strong, guys?
Yep. I've got quite a good investment in them, actually, which has made me happy this week.
You've got, when you say good investment, how is it better than my investment in them?
Do you mean because you're not down in that stock?
Yes, that's what I pretty much mean. It means it's actually, AsiaMet this week has brought me out of the red in my portfolio, which is nice.
Is it? What, your entire portfolio has dragged you?
My entire...
Wow.
Yeah. So Andalas has been dragging me down like a rock on the bottom of a seabed.
Yeah, we haven't talked about Andalas a lot. And do you know what? I've sold mine. I took a bit of a loss on them. But do you know what? Mm. This is my thought on Andalas. You know, I think they will come good. And I do think there's a huge amount of potential there, you know, hooking up with one of the biggest players. But I couldn't be bothered to wait. And I had other opportunities. And I had lack of funds. And I thought, do you know what? Should I just take a hit? I took a hit of about 20% on them. And I said, I'll move on. And I tell you where I put some of the money, actually, in Teapop.
Yes.
Because I say, I mentioned that in a bit, but first and foremost, I want to say, that, you know, Asian Met Resources, you can be a dirty trader if you want. And there have been people trading this stock in and out, and that's why it's suffered and found it hard to get above that 3 pence level. And I did say, didn't I, once it gets above that 3 pence level, it'll start to fly. And that's, if you look at the chart there, you can draw a line across 3 pence. It's tried several times to get above that. Once it got above it, now it's towards 5 pence. And there's still more to come there. If you look at the potential of these assets, they're huge. It's like the thing they're drilling at the moment. The results, the share price went up on those results of the drill of the BKM. That's the Burakan Ganon main. Now they've got the BKZ zone. They've got the BK South zone and the BK North zone there, or West, whatever it is. There's three other zones in that area. They haven't even drilled that has a similar potential to the main zone. You know, so that's just that area. That's not including Barrow, you know, the asset they got, plus Bhutong. Oh, don't forget about Bhutong. You know, that's 4 or 5 times as big as BKM. And you've got July, the gold asset, which they probably will be offloading, which will push up the coffers. Look at the coffers. But it'll supplement the coffers there, cash-wise. And I think, if you look at the RNS, the keys in that RNS there, which I quite liked, Tony there hinting, very soon there'll be some more news on like funding and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking now we've got a major player, because I know Tony's been doing the rounds and he's well known, with Oxiana and all that. He's well known in that area, in the Far East, for copper plays. And he suggested there's going to be talks very soon. He said, "Well, I don't want to misquote the Tony, because of course he's the man. So I'll actually get it up here and see what he said. What do you say, Tony?" Let's have a look.
That's a great quote.
Yeah, feasibility studies activities have been progressed at a pace on all fronts, and several corporate initiatives aimed at further strengthening the company and providing funding options for the development of BKM have been significantly advanced. Asia Met expects to be a transformational 2017 year for the company, and we look forward to providing further updates shortly. So, to me, that says shortly, significant, transformational, things are happening, you know. And I said, didn't I, a while back, I said, before feasibility study is complete, things will be happening here. They won't wait till they get along. Of course they're not. If they've got an amazing, compelling, you know, project here, they're not going to wait until, you know, because they know what's going on. They're digging up these results. They're showing, they're taking these, you know, they are an asset to the public. Do you think they're not, you know, putting this on the table to big money investors and big Indo families that got a lot of money, saying, listen, this is what we got here. We got a money spinner. We got a money spinner right in our backyard. And so he's going to offer them, say, listen, this is what it's going to be generating. What, $40 million of free cash flow a year? Do you want a bit of, do you want a bit of that? Do you want a piece of the action? You know what I'm saying? So it's going to happen, you know? And I think, do you know what, another one that's underrated? I don't know if you saw the tweet. Looks several retweets, actually. I did Tony Tiger. You know Tony Tiger? They're great! You know?
I did see the tweet, yes.
I put two of those together, two Tonys, and I said, never underestimate the power of the Tonys. Asia Met and Tolu said, look at their track records. They're great! And it's quite good, that. See what I did there? Just, you know, put his catchphrase and their Tonys, two Tonys. And I think Tolu at the moment, you know, it's just, or Talau, they say. But I think it's, you know, it is bouncing off the bottom. I said a while back, I wrote a blog post. I bought some more recently, just under 6 pence, I think it was. But I think this now is, like I said, buy zone, you know. This is, again, we're talking about trading and investing. Now, this is investing. This is knowing that these companies have excellent assets. They've got management in place that have done it before. And yes, they can go up and down. And if you want to take a bit off the table, you can, when you see a spike like you see recently. Because it will come back. No share price stays up and goes, keeps going up. But then what you need to do then is keep that money aside, and when it comes back down to levels and support levels and starts consolidating, buy again, because we'll see it again. If you look at the chart of Asia Met, you know, it'll go up, it'll come back a little bit. People think, what's happening? Anything happening? Lack of news, then you're buying again, and it goes up again. And so you're almost compounding your money every time you do that. So, you know, but never leave a core holding in there. But if you want to have a trade around, yes, but don't take the lot out, you know, because it's a long-term investment. We're not dirty.
Do what I would do.
Go on, Steve, tell us.
Well, in previous times, I would have obviously cashed out by now.
Yeah.
Right.
But obviously, I've learned from my experiences, and I've stayed in, and it's paid off.
Yeah, but this one was always going to be a longer term, and it still is a long term game, isn't it? It's there's no reason to sell, in my opinion. I don't want to trade it in and out or whatever. I just want to just hold my holding now, because the cheapest we bought them at was like 1 point something, wasn't it? 1.1.
Oh yeah, we've been buying at 1.1. They're at 4 pence. We're laughing. We're sitting pretty. Yeah. We can't go wrong on this investment, guys. Yeah, guys, we're sitting pretty. You know, Shane. But we've been, you know, backing this all the way along. So don't mess with Tony. He's the man. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, Talao, one thing I just think, you know, you've got to look when you... I'm a person who tries to formulate or formalize something, you know, and investing similar. I try to get a system to make it a bit of a formula. And that's why, I come up with that sort of cash acronym. I think if you really want to study a good long-term sustainable investment, you've got to put certain things, you know, they've got to fit certain brackets. And like I said, having cash, having assets, having a good, strong shareholder register, having good head honchos with track records, you put those four in place and, you know, you're on to a winner. And I deviate now and again for a punt. It never really works out. But, and talking about sustainable, do you know what's very similar? While like TPOP, which is the people's operator, and to explain, I had Mark Epstein, the CEO, on the podcast on Friday, and this is a turnaround stock that was floated in 2014 at £1.30. They recently hit like two and a half, three pence a share. And you think, what happened there? And he went through the problems that happened. First of all, there's technical issues. They had lots of demand for the product. But it's a SIM card business, basically, and 10% goes to charity. Jimmy Whale, Mr. Wikipedia, you know, one of the most visited websites on the world is on the board. You know, and he was friends with the original, one of the co-founders, and that's how he got involved. And he said, let's make it big. Let's take it to America. I can get access to any chat show you want in America. And he can. He can open doors for you like that. If you want publicity, you can get it. You know, and so people started buying into this. But like I said, they had lots of problems. I think it was Sprint as the operator. They're a virtual mobile network, so they don't own the base stations and all that. They just, you know, use or lease the data and other bigger players. But it's the technical issues with Sprint out there. And the Sprint CEO changed hands, and the technical issues there. So they got demand. Lots of people can, you know, asking them get this to buy the product off them, and they couldn't deliver. And then all of a sudden, the CEO passed away in 2014. The main guy, co-founder, so less than more issues. But what we're getting now, and the cash burn was horrendous because it was a startup, you know, and it was floated, and they were marketing it. The cash burn was ridiculous. It was like 10 million in the first year. And it had little or no revenue. It's very similar in model like that. And I'm seeing with Audioboom right now, I do believe it's a transformational year for Audioboom. The cash burn has been horrendous to get the thing going, you know? But now it's gaining momentum and traction. Cash burn is coming down and revenue is going up. And so you see this point where before the cash burn was higher than revenue, it's going the other way around now. So the revenue is starting to overtake the cash burn, and that's when you get a profitable company. And I think TPOP plus Audioboom will be like that this year. And he explained to me that they're expanding by, he said, more than single digits on a monthly basis, the revenue. Mm. And so they've reported already 3.6 million is going to be their turnover. They did have a target in the market for 8 million last year, you know, but they obviously said, due to all the issues we had, we weren't going to make it. But now we've sorted those issues out. And it's at 3.6 million this year. And if you work, I've done a spreadsheet, yeah? I'm going to write a little blog on them the weekend. I put the spreadsheet on there. But I've done a sort of, for example, a spreadsheet starting at 300,000 a month, having 5% increments increases in monthly revenue, and having different cash burn levels. And this company at 10 million, it's a bargain. I think if you're going forward, if you're doing 10% increase on revenue a month, it's way undervalued. And if that's what's going to happen. So, you know, I see this, minimum pretty much in doubling I think if they're doing that revenue and that cash when they said it was down to £115,000 a month, and even in my spreadsheet, I've overestimated the cash burn on several different levels. I think this is a steal here, and I think it's one. And he said one of these businesses that has that viral attractiveness. Jimmy Will just goes, listen, it's comparable with other SIM card networks, and yet 10% goes to charity. And that's got that viral influence on it that Jimmy Will can talk about. And yet it's scalable. He said, it's completely scalable. This business can go around the world. We're only in the US and the UK at the moment. It can go around the world. And there's no reason why we can't do that. So it's not like they have to, employ thousands of people abroad where it doesn't need to at all. It's very scalable, very efficient. And so I just think this could be one that's, it's not a trade, it's a long-term investment. And if they start doing what they say they're doing, it could be, several multiples of where it is right now. And so that's why I'm interested in it. So, I mean, not just because Jimmy Wales involved, even though he has a huge amount of marketing power behind him, I think, it's generally could be one to get into. And I mean, if you look at the chart now, it's like 9 pence. It's risen quite, I got to say, I was buying at 3.5, 4 pence. And I told you about it at 4 pence. And you didn't, you didn't take me up on the offer. And now it's 9 pence. Still now, look at the chart, right? It's still haven't even from like 3.5 pence to 9 pence. It hasn't really made a big dent on the chart, and I'm just thinking, you know what? This is if they keep growing up, they have said they're growing the last couple of months. Then I think this is the start of a sustained uptrend, an excellent recovery play based on sustainability of revenue and cash burn going down. Profitability. He said he's going to be profitable this year, 2017. Yeah. So that's a good thing, I think, isn't it? They don't need cash.
Exactly, that's what I was going to say. By the sounds of it, they've got plenty of cash, well-funded, revenue coming in, and it is a recovery if you look at the chart, obviously, from where they were when they floated anyway. It's way off, isn't it? So potentially, in terms of like market cap and the value of that business, once things start becoming profitable, you're like, wow. It does look a very appealing investment. Like you say, a longer-term investment.
Yeah, I admit. It's almost like I had him on the podcast on Friday. I had quite a few guests. I had Zenith Energy and Mark. I had Russ Mould, who's very good. I used to listen to Russ on Radio 5 Live when I used to cycle to work on the podcast. And I think this guy's good. He's sharp. He knows his stuff. And if you listen, I'd implore you to listen to Russ. That's the way you talk about stocks. Really fast, full of facts, no messing around. And he gets it across very quickly, and he's very good. But I don't think people picked up on Teapot. It didn't really move after the podcast went out, and he's not spoken to or done any marketing recently, and I thought this is going to shift once this goes out, when it sees the potential. But I think people have seen the potential because I've sat down and gone through the figures on a spreadsheet. I can see the potential there, and I think at the moment, what is it, 11 million market cap? That's good, man. That's good. It's a cash generative business, no cash needed, and it's scalable, and they've got marketing power, and I just think it's good. It has super potential there. Absolutely. Anything else? What's happening? Anything else you're looking at, guys? I've had a punt this week in calf. Paul's calf.
Right.
Do you know Paul's calf?
No.
It's all right. It's just about where I bought a lower down at a Chinese chunk. It's China Africa Resources. Paul Johnson. Do you know Paul of Metal Tiger?
Oh, yes.
Do you know he did that? He literally, Paul works his butt off to get things going. Mm. He starts releasing RNSs every day, pretty much. 5 times a day. If you've got, the Vox Markets app there, it'd be like, ding,
yes.
Metal Tiger, ding, Metal Tiger. And literally, he could plow away getting more assets, more projects. When he came on the podcast, he was one of the first guys on the podcast, to chat about it. I bought them at about 0.8 pence. And they kept banging their head on the 1 pence level and come back down. And I said to him, 3 million market cap at the time. I said, Paul, you're doing a lot of stuff here, investing and all this stuff, and it's not going anywhere. Will it? He said, it will. And he kept going. And literally went up to 6 pence, almost straight up in a couple of days. People caught on to it, traction caught in. And I think this is what's happening with CAF now, China Africa Resources. It's going up and down. It'll do like 12% one day, down 10% the next day. It's really volatile. It's a tiny market cap. But he's bringing investments into it. And I think it'll be the case. Once it gets above 4 pence, it'll start to motor. But it's like, I just believe that Paul Johnson will do it there because he's very clever. He's a very good, clever trader. He knows what he's doing. And he's very switched on. But, keep an eye on CAF. Anything else looking at? Horizonte moved a little bit on Friday. That's another one, see, that's nowhere near. Once it breaks 3 pence, that's going up, man. It's got the fundamentals. Yeah.
Nicola Duke was positive on that, wasn't she, on the chart, looking at that? And Teapot as well, actually, wasn't it? She was, is that right? Yes, That was Parazonte she was talking about.
Parazonte,
she was very positive. So that sounded, the potential, the future potential, I was quite happy that I'm holding with that at the moment.
Yes, yes. I'm thinking, Steve, have you done any research on our, you know, on our experiment? 50 trades, 1,000 to £100,000.
Was I supposed to do some research?
Well, it wouldn't hurt, Steve, would it?
Well, I'm not going to do it unless you tell me to do it.
I'm thinking, I'm narrowing it down now to BT or IG. Now, BT's rolling over a little bit again, just retesting. IG's not going anywhere at the moment, I don't know. What else did I mention last week? What else did I mention? I mentioned something else, didn't I? What was it?
Next.
Was it next? No, it wasn't next, was it?
A few weeks ago, that was.
Yeah, come on, Peter, keep up.
I think
Peter.
We decided to hold off on next, didn't we? From my deep analysis into the company.
Right.
That's it. What was that? Did you go to Matlan?
That's right.
No, it was just deep analysis. I just get a cheap shirt from Matlan. Simple.
Everyday pants. No, what was it?
Yeah, everyday pants. No. That's it, yeah. The Steve wears pants every day. So I go, it seems sensible to shop in the everyday pants section.
It was weird, actually. It's a really off subject from shares.
You can get every week pants as well, so people will just wear pants. Doesn't change the pants for the week.
I went to buy some pants this week. They're really expensive, aren't they? That's the company you want to be investing in. Companies that sell pants.
The pant company.
Well, the pants company.
I don't think there are.
Pants company.
Are there companies that sell pants? I don't think
my portfolio is full of a few. It's got a few pants companies.
The pants company. Well, do you know what? I'm just thinking there. Do you know what? When I get in the morning, it's dark, right? And the missus goes to bed before me. She goes to bed really early. And so I sneak in and try and get my pants and socks and put them on the landing, you know, and my trousers and a T-shirt and some of that. So if I shower in the evening, sometimes I forget to go up there and get them out of the bedroom before she goes to sleep.
Right.
So literally I have to go in, and last night, took my pants, I went in there, right, had a shower in the evening, and I thought, I haven't got my stuff out. And she was sleeping, so I went in there, using my sort of, just the glow of my phone. I went into the drawers there, went into my pant drawer, all my pants are black, you know?
Right.
Because I like it, but they're all black. So I pulled one out, pulled a pair of socks out as well, and a T-shirt. Yeah. Trying to make it as quiet as possible with the phone in my hand, and she's there, trying to say, I can hear you. I can hear you. Make a noise. And I'm trying to be as quiet as possible, you know. And so I got up in the morning then. I did my teeth and stuff. I had a shower in the evening. You know, I'm not dirty. I don't like to keep clean down there.
Where is this going? Okay.
So anyway, I put on my pants. So these are very tight. These are very tight indeed. Well, I for a while, I did go through a period where I was buying the wrong size pants. I go to Argos Asda, just buy. I bought the wrong size to Argos. You have to sit there and wait. Take your ticket. Oh, I bought a stack load of pants. I'm ticket number 59. But so I went anyway. So I went into the bathroom, put the light on, had the missus' black knickers on. I thought, what the heck are they doing in my drawer? So I had to take them back off and put my old pants
on.
You
left them on for the day?
No. I thought, I can get used to this. So I had to take them back off and put my old pants on from the day before. I didn't feel very clean. You know?
You should have walked into the room, turned the light on.
She said, get out! I'm sleeping! I'm wearing your knickers! Yeah. But
the weird thing is, you put her bra on as well.
Yeah, that was all right, Dad. I thought, this is not right. Bra on and matching. At least they were matching anyway. But anyway, yes. No, there was something else. There was something else we're looking at, and I couldn't think what it was. Have you ever tried on ladies' knickers, by the way? They're not designed, are they? They're not designed for the fellas. You know what I'm saying?
It's funny, that.
Yeah, there was something else. I couldn't think what it was, but... I don't know what it is.
Pants companies, yeah. Well, let's look into them this week.
I think what's frustrating me is Motive Bio at the moment.
Ah, right.
Just bumping along the bottom there. So what, Steve has just texted something. What is it?
He sent a picture of a penguin.
Why have you sent a picture of a penguin on Skype, Steve? A dancing penguin.
I don't know, maybe smile.
Okay, thanks, Steve.
As I say, Motive Bio, right? They've got clinical trials. We all know about this. Steve, you hold them. Pete, you hold them?
No.
Okay. Essentially, they're super undervalued, I think. You know, the lead drug, Ilkaprim, has been through phase 3 trials before, and due to regulatory issues, they didn't pass. But looking back on previous data, they think they could now have passed that. So they're going to phase 3 trials, pretty much, you know, it's almost like, well, this is an analogy, right? That you do your driving test, right, and you go there, and they pass you and say, oh, no, hang on, no. You didn't do the handbrake turn, did you? He said, well, you didn't ask me to do the handbrake turn. No, that's part of the test. Since we've arrived back at the drive centre, that's part of the test now. So, okay, can we go out and do it? No. You have to resubmit now. What? That's a bit of cheating. It's a change of goalposts there, haven't you? That's what's happened with Motobio. So that's what happened. And the last company that owned it, basically, you know, didn't have the money to take it. Because, you know, if you understand how expensive it is to go through clinical 3 phase, because they've got 600 patients they have to treat in different geographies around the world. You have to employ an independent, you know, company that's not just any old company. You can't ask your mate, you know, who's an odd job guy to do it. You know, do us a favour, hop over to Belgium or Brazil or America and test these guys. Well, it's got to be done by, you know, a recognised, regulatory assigned sort of medical group, you know, that then in themselves costs money. So you have to have the environment, you have to have the patients. You know, it costs a lot of money to put people through phase 3 trials. So that last company, that, you know, couldn't afford to do it again. And their share price just went down to the point where they couldn't raise any money. And so, you know, Motobio has taken up the cause here of Ilkaprim. And the potential is massive. And if you look at their peers in America, 5-6 times the value of Motobio, and the data readouts, and it's coming close to the wire. And I'm just thinking this will. I just think that before the data's out, it's gonna shoot through the roof sooner or later. I don't know when it is, because it's bouncing on the bottom. The support level is excellent, 25-26 pence. Mm. But I think sooner or later, once it goes past 28, it's gonna blow through the roof. But so we're quarter two, it's going to be 2017. Worth looking at, worth putting in your watches, do a bit of research. MTFB, it's worth looking at there. Just looking at anything else. Boom.
Blue Star Capital, are you into them?
I'm still into those, yes.
Yeah, I'm disappointed. I thought they were going to have a bit more of a sort of impact when it was quite a very positive annual podcast with them the other week. It also was a very, very good story. I was impressed by it. I bought a little bit.
Peter, tell us about the story, please.
It's all about blockchain. Yeah. I can't think off the top of my head. This is
blockchain. Well, so you don't know why you've invested now? Is that what you're saying?
I can't remember off the top of my head. I shouldn't have started talking about it without refreshing my memory. But
don't worry. We've got Steve here. Steve.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good point.
Blockchain.
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 Blockchain or blackchain?
Blockchain.
Steve. I don't want to be talking about the wrong one.
No, because you've got a wealth of information on either, haven't you? I can talk for half an hour either of these. Go on, Steve. Yeah, blockchain. Just take us through the refreshers. Blue Star Capital, they've invested in Satoshi Pei. Oi, invest in Satoshi Pei.
Well, as with the salads, the fruit isn't doing too well either. And we're just using up time before the stopwatch goes off.
The Japanese, that's really the noises they make. What do you mean? It just sounds so aggressive, doesn't it, sometimes? Yeah. Even when you're
in. Is that a food song?
What?
Is that a food song?
No, but even when you're like, have you ever been to like a proper sushi bar with the Japanese people working there?
Yes.
I haven't. I was going to be an impression of one. You know, you order something there, and they do it in like what's the ones that go around in the carousels you have in railway stations and stuff like that. What's that one? Yo Sushi.
But
they do orders there, don't they? In they order in Japanese there or not?
What? You can speak English to them.
Oh no, yeah, but that's a word. It's almost like it's invented while you've been on the toilet, that was like, isn't it?
Very odd. Right,
okay. Talking about that, I went to Yo Sushi in where was it? In Southampton somewhere, and no, it wasn't. It was in London. I was going to train station back to get, and I thought I'd go for a sushi or something. And I had to go to the toilet, right? I was sitting on the toilet for ages. You know, someone's in the toilet for ages. And in the end, I started knocking the door. I even asked the staff a couple of times, and whether it was locked. I said, is this working? And I said, is it? So I was, and I kept shaking the door, thinking, just to let the person know, I'm out here, you know, I'm dying to go to the toilet, and you'll be in there for half an hour. So I was doing it. It came out as a member of staff. They're in there for half an hour. I thought, that is taking the mick, isn't it? And that put me off my food a little bit. It was quite a chunky Chinese guy. And he came out, and I thought, he was really, I thought, maybe it was his dinner break, I don't know, and he just wanted to spend it in the toilet. So I said to him, what are you doing?
Did he have your wife's knickers on?
Yeah, and he said back to me, what are you doing? I said to him, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? And then he said to me, I have no idea what you're talking about. I said, I have no idea. Just play along.
Right.
I said, okay. Just keep doing it. It looks quite impressive. But, yeah. He was in the fridge. I thought I wouldn't do that in work. Saying that, I used to do that. Have you ever done that in work? Have you been in a job you really hate, and almost the best part of the day is going to the toilet for ages and taking a newspaper in there and spending half an hour in there? Oh, hang on.
Oh, thank God, everyone.
That was a long half hour.
And someone often said to me, always, if you're going to have a number two, do it at work, because they're paying you to go to the toilet. You're paying you to do that number two. Brilliant. So I used to, an apprentice, he used to have a newspaper, and they used to share the newspaper. He used to go in there for like an hour and a half. And just sit there in the newspaper. and they say that British, you know, productivity is low. What? No way. With guys like that? No. Anyway, I think that's pretty much on stock, so we've all done there, haven't we?
I think we mentioned a couple.
So if you had a cubicle of toilets, you know, in Japan, right, and all blokes just sitting having number twos, and that's how they talk to each other. That just reminds me of Jim Davidson did a gag about that once. I mean, this obviously Jim Davidson, but I mean, it's not really our style. We're more sophisticated than that. But I remember once he said he went into a unisex cubicle. It was obviously a joke, and he sat down, for, you know, for number two. And there's this lady next to him said, Sharon. I said, yes, Dawn. I said, did you buy that coat? No, hang on a sec. Oh, there's someone else saying you're finished now. Your time is up. But she said, Sharon, yes, did you buy that coat? Yes, Dawn. What colour did you buy? Oh, I looked at the blue, but I went for brown in the end. There we are. That's the end of the Jim Davidson gag there.
And, exactly. Why not?
Anyway, lads, is that it? Have a nice weekend, yeah. And Pete, listen, I understand it looks so promising for England rugby this week, this year, I thought, but never mind. You know, it's that's the old Cardiff effect.
What is your prediction then? Let's have a serious, each of us have a serious prediction of the score.
99 points to zero, Wales.
Justin, Steve?
I'm going to go...
No, 15-16.
What?
16-15.
Okay.
No, 2023.
I'm going to go... No, I'm
going to
go...
I can't believe you're seriously thinking about a number. That's like trying to predict the lottery numbers.
Yeah.
Oh, Steve, Steve's thinking about it.
I don't think Wales are going to win, though. That's what I'm... Yeah, having Wales 15, Wales 20.
Wales 15, Wales 20. Steve, it's two different teams, you simple fool.
What?
You said Wales 15, Wales 20.
Wales 20.
What did I say?
Wales 15, Wales 20, you said.
I'm in England.
I think it's going to be 15 all draw to England.
Yeah, okay, yeah, exactly. And that time has come in handy, isn't it? We're spot on for that. I started late, we're still talking. Okay.
No, exactly.
Right. Boys, have a nice weekend, and wish you all the best Steve, for Wales, all right? I wish you all the best for Wales. Thanks so much. Pete?
Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.